Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Happy New Year's Eve, everyone. It's Michael Kay for At Home with Victoria, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of At Home with Victoria. Wanted to do this show tonight. There's a lot of sadness in the world right now, and if there's one person that I know that can enlighten, empower through her voice and her knowledge, it is my good friend Daphne Clark Hudson. Some of you know her as Dynamic Daphne, and she has a show here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. But I'm so thrilled to call this woman my friend. She's helped me out so very much. But please welcome everybody. This is Dynamic Daphne Clark Hudson. Hello, darling. How are you?
Hello, my brother Michael. How are you? Happy New Year to you and Stephen and to all the family, to Victoria, and all the other family members of At Home with Victoria. What an honor it is to be spending this time in your company. It is indeed an honor.
It's always a joy to have you here. Just for those, I forgot to mention, Our Lady Victoria is actually on the slopes right now doing some night skiing. So she wasn't going to be. I just said, for God's sake, don't break anything, you know, because
oh,
I love Victoria,
Lord,
but
no.
You know, that snow is slippery out there.
That's about adventure, you know. We got to be adventurous in life. And
absolutely.
She, I think she, based on the pictures I've been watching of her over the time that I've met you both, she enjoys life.
She
exits out of this world, she's going empty.
Yeah, she's got no energy left, that's for sure. But for those who don't know a lot about Daphne Clark Hudson, she's a nationally recognized empowerment specialist, inspirational professional speaker, and certified life coach. She's got over 20 years' experience helping others to lead purpose-driven and authentic empowered lives. But Daphne, tell us exactly what an empowerment specialist is. Everybody's dropping key phrases right now, and you're so much that. I find you to be more of a tour de force, more of a life force than anything. And so for those who don't know, tell us what an empowerment specialist actually is.
An empowerment specialist, and I'm explaining it from my perspective and my understanding and my wisdom, is someone who helps an individual to extract what's inside. Sometimes some of the things that an empowerment specialist is extracting are things that has laid dormant for many years. So in other words, a common word, if you want to refer to me as a rooter or a plunger, that's what I am. So I root up everything that's there. And once they are there and I extract them, I am not discarding them. I would work with you and I said, Michael, well, here's what we got out. Now, what do you think we can do with this? And we prioritize, and there are times when people put things on the back burner. There are times when they want to discard some things because of the experiences it has gave them. Mm-hmm. And those times, I would say, before you discard right away, why not lock it in the toolbox and give it some time to simmer and see whether or not you indeed need to discard it, or you just want to put it on the side for now. So an empowerment specialist helps you to understand more about who you are, what's your authenticity, and what's your uniqueness. Because when we have clarity on these two things, then we don't get confused about somebody is doing what we are called to do. Because, Michael, I can't do you and you can't do me. But society has kind of have us all programmed with this jealousy thing and, oh, that person is stepping in your territory and all of that. Listen, man, we were all called to run a race. And if we stay in our lane, nobody can run that race but us. So as an empowerment specialist, that's what I do, help people to come into who they were called and created to be.
Now, you've stumbled upon empowerment specialist as quite a gift, because you yourself have actually traveled the traversed terrain of living. For those who don't know, tell us a bit about your background. This story,
well,
everybody, is fantastic. You'll never look at Daphne the same again. But I'm sorry, Daph. Go on ahead and tell us your story.
That's all right. I was born and raised in Jamaica, West Indies. I lost my mother at the age of 13. I grew up in a two-room house where we didn't have running water or bathroom. I used to take my bath in an enamel washing tub, and we had an outhouse for a toilet. So I was born into the family, a farming family, and my mother was an asthmatic. And when she had her asthmatic attack, I used to have to stay home from school to help look after her, because my father would be gone to the fields, whether he was working his farm or somebody else's farm, but he was never there. And one of the things I grew up hearing from Mama was that, sweetie, that's what they call me, sweetie, you're going to be a good nurse. One of these days you're going to be a nurse working in hospital, wearing cap and all of that. And I lost my mother at that tender age, Michael. So her plan for me to go to England didn't happen. So I actually studied nursing at the local hospital there. However, losing my mother at that age and not being from an affluent family, to go to high school in Jamaica, you need to pass the common entrance exam, and you need to pass it fully. Well, I took it twice, and I only passed a half. When you pass the common entrance a half, you can go to a high school, but your parents need to pay money for you to do that. And my father did not have the money to pay. So I remained in the elementary school, and I sat for the first, second, and third Jamaica local exams. So upon accomplishing those, I went into nursing school. Now I got married, and that marriage didn't work. So as if it was not enough struggle for me to lose my mother at that age, I am thankful that I held myself together, never became pregnant, never had any children and all of that stuff. But then I got married, and my husband came to the United States to pursue a better life, and I thought it was for both of us. However, it was not. And I came here, got pregnant. When I got back to Jamaica, I realized I was pregnant, had my son, Givonte, and then got divorced when Givonte was 2 years old. I came back here to the U.S. to see whether or not my marriage would work, and I left Givonte at 2 years old in Jamaica and came here to America. Well, when I came here in 1985, I realized that my husband was living a double life. He was in another relationship. So I am a queen. I'm precious. I deserve the best, and I realized second best is not for me. So then I divorced him. I divorced him during a time when I was studying to do my New York State Board nursing exam. At the time, I was working in assisted living, where I would do that from Monday through Friday evening. Friday night and Saturday, I would do the nursing review at a place in Manhattan to sit for the boards, and then go back to the living in job on Monday morning. And that happened until I stumbled up on Mary Kay Cosmetics. On the train, I met a woman. And at that time, I didn't have a car, Michael. And when the woman was telling me about the cars and all of that and the cosmetics and everything, I wasn't tuned into the cosmetics, but I was thinking a car, you know. Mm-hmm. I was working in Palisades, over the bridge there from New York to New Jersey. And I said, man, I can have a car to drive. That, I love that more than the makeup. So I called into the agency I was working for that Monday, and I did not go in to my client because I wanted to go to the meeting with the woman at the Mary Kay meeting. So she took me to the meeting. I went there and I saw people in red jackets and I saw a red Grand Dame poster on the wall. It was a meeting out in Westbury, New York. And I kept asking, oh, but what is that car? What is that car? And then the director of the unit said, oh, well, you can win that car in 3 months. So I said, really? And I got excited, Michael. And I asked her, how many people already won the car? Well, of course, that was not a good question to ask because, you know what? Nobody there had won the car yet. So she said, nobody yet. I said, well, I'll be your first. And, of course, people rolling their eyes, yeah, where she come from, think she going to win car and everything. And, Michael, in 3.5 months, I won that car. And I was her first offspring director.
Fantastic, doll.
So, to continue that path, I did that. I won the red car. I won the pink car. I became a director. I became a senior director. But like everything in sales, when you're not producing, then you lose momentum and everything. So my unit began not doing so well, and I lost my unit and lost the privilege of the car, and I went into another company that sold knockoff perfume. People in New York and probably remember them, call themselves Centura Creation. They copied all the designer scents, and they sell them on the street for $25 for a tall, slim bottle. I went in that company, and what was promised to me about getting my own distribution center again never happened. Came to Connecticut with the hopes of opening my own distribution center with a business partner, which was a gentleman from Nigeria, that we were going to open our dealership together. When we came here, there was no money for us because the office we were being trained by, the man was not on the upper end with us. So here we are stuck in Connecticut and no money to open our business. And Neville at the time said, he said, oh, I'm not staying up here and suffer. I'm going back to my sister. And his sister was living out on Long Island in New York, so he went back home. And I figure I'm here already. I'm going to get a couple of odd jobs, get into some relationship and see if anybody could find me grant money to open the business. And that did not happen. So during that time, I didn't have any money to open a business. I had $250 in my bank account. My furniture and everything I had in my house in New York was in storage and no money. So I was living in the shelter here. And by then I had gotten my 9-year-old son up from New York. We were living in the Good Neighbor House, which was a shelter for women and children. And I just bounced up on that one day when I was going to the library to research about grant money. I had no experience and idea about how to write grants, but I figure if I would go there, look in the books and everything, maybe I could get some information on how to do grant writing. Well, that fell through, but I like to talk, and I knock on the door and ask the lady who came out, what was this? She said it was a shelter for women and their children. I asked how to get in. She told me what my needs were to get in there, and I went and got those papers, and my son and I went in there. I think we were there for 8 or 9 weeks. Then I was blessed, we were blessed, to get to move into what is known as Amos House. And that is at in Rocky Glen in Danbury, Rocky Glen Road in Danbury. And that's a transitional home for families. So I was there. I think I stayed there. I was supposed to be there for 6 months, stayed there for 5.5 months. And then I moved to another apartment where I assisted a lady who was elderly during the day, take her to the doctor and get her medication, do her grocery shopping, cook her meals, and went to a group home at nights to work and left my son there and called him to check to see how he was doing. And then I come home early in the morning. And from there, I save up the money. I was working at night and buy the home that I now live in. So when I do the work that I do with others, Michael, not only am I doing what I was taught or what I read from books, I am doing what I have done in my life. Mm-hmm. I am my own textbook. I'm not telling people to do anything that I have not done. Sometimes I hear people say, been there, done that. And that's my story. I have been there, and I understand what it is about to be in the trenches.
Where did you find your source of stick-to-itiveness, your source of strength in this?
You know,
that's a story, Daphne, and that's living is sometimes not for the weak. You know what I mean?
Yes. You know, Michael, I have a good friend in and I'm going to answer your question, but as you ask me this question, this came to my mind. My dear friend Dara, she said to me one day, Michael, with tears in her eyes, she hugged me, she put her arms over my shoulders, and she looked deep in my soul, and she said, darling, if you would leave right now, go to Jamaica or anywhere in the world that the Lord lead you to go, and I never lay eyes on you again, she said, I would wake up every morning with you in my heart. And she said, you know why? I had no idea what faith meant until I became your friend. She said, I read about it. I grew up in the church, but I did not have any understanding about faith. Mm-hmm. And to go back to ask you where I got it from, Michael, I watched my mother and my father, although we were poor. I had no idea we were poor, Michael, until I came to America in 1985. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was poor. And I never, never, never heard Mama and Papa complain one day that they didn't have anything. And if this was bad and that was bad. Every day, my father was not a believer. My mother was a diligent Moravian. So she'd go to church and she was active in the church and everything. Never complained, even when she was having those terrible asthmatic attacks and she could hardly breathe. There was a broad smile on her face and she always looked happy. So each and every day when I wake up and I can realize the leaves are swaying, the birds are chirping, I can recognize that the trees are alive and I know I am blessed to be alive. I have nothing to complain about, nothing. And I know that the only thing that can prevent me and get into my way is myself, not my neighbor, not anybody else who try to, you know, say or do anything negative towards you. It's only me. So if I decide to give up on Daphne, it is over for me. But so long as I get up every day and I know there is hope, there's nothing for me to complain about.
Yeah, that's very, very true, and a message that a lot of us tend to be forgetting and stuff. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Dynamic Daphne Clark Hudson on At Home with Victoria. I want to thank everybody up in chat, Gary Sibbald and Shannon Sibbald from the UK tuning in, and my sister from Canada is actually tuning in.
Wonderful.
I want to go ahead and actually, you know, there's a song, Daphne, that I know you haven't heard yet, but mm-hmm. it is something that I really need you to listen to. It's from Joshua Stedman. The song is called The Gift. Stay tuned for those listening and stuff. We're going to give this a listen. But, Daphne, this song is specifically written by this young man named Joshua Stedman, and it's so poignant. So we're going to give it a listen. Everybody out there listening, go fill up your champagne glasses and get ready to party with the new year. But, once again, Joshua Stedman with The Gift. Don't go anywhere, anybody.
I feel the need to save the world, but it seems just too big. What's one drop of change in a sea of need? I want to know the name of the person I help heal. I want to be the drain as it's becoming real. Sometimes
With the gift, Daphne. Isn't that a fantastic little tune?
Oh, that's a beautiful song, man. You're not supposed to have me crying like this. This is an amazing song. I have to go find it to add to my collection. That is beautiful, Michael, and thank you. And it is just on time for this conversation that we are having. It is so on time.
Absolutely.
On time.
For those who have any questions for Daphne, you can go ahead and call in at 718-664-9364. That's 718-664-9364. Daphne, you've got an event coming up in March, a three-day event, a fantastic roster of people you've put together for this at the Broadway Millennium. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's called the Vision Weekend Conference, and about 5.5 years ago, I was awakened from a deep sleep with this vision about doing something for entrepreneurs and small business people. And I wrote it in my journal, and stubborn me, we had it there. I left it there, didn't do anything until the Lord revisited me again and said, I didn't have to give that vision to you. I could have given it to somebody else. So we did it in 2010 as a virtual conference, and God has pulled an amazing platform together. So we are doing it in New York City. This conference is created to help us understand more about our vision and calling, because we are living in a time when a lot of people are losing their jobs. And what this conference is going to do is to help them to identify what is it they are good at and can go out there and really supplement or even make more than they were making on their jobs. And we'll be able to impact the economy, not only in their local areas, but also nationally and internationally as well. We have 16 speakers on the platform. We have Mr. Simon T. Bailey, who is known around the world. And Mr. Bailey is number 3. He is recognized number 3 in the speaking circuit worldwide. And we have him speaking at the gala on Saturday night, and we also have him speaking on Sunday morning. Then we have Willie Crawford, who is a millionaire. He was a Marine pilot, and he started his internet business while he was in the military. So he retired a millionaire, and he's coming there to teach us how to take advantage of joint venture. And he's also going to give us some inside secrets on how he make, keep, and still maintain his million. Then we have Miss Jennifer Sertle, who is an author and really an amazing woman. She is doing strategic leadership globally, and she's also the co-author of Strategic Leadership and the Soul that she co-authored with Kobe Huberman. And Kobe is coming to the platform all the way from Israel to share his skills and talents with the people of the U.S. We have from Scotland, we have Miss Jan Mullock. And Jan is a positive achievement and productivity strategist. And she is coming to teach us how to remain positive, and it's not about affirmations and all of that, and how to prioritize the life that we want, and how to not focus on having the exorbitant things, but just have the things that add value to our lives. And those are just some of the speakers, because I'm not going to take time to go through all 16. We have Mr. James Nemley, who is the CEO of the Building Your Extraordinary Business out of New York City, to who is on the platform. We have Yolanda Webb, who is the CEO of Elan Cosmetics, also on the platform. And you know what, Michael?
What?
We have a gift for the listeners, because we have the early cutoff today, December the 31st, and we have decided that we are giving all the people who listen and can register for the conference within the next 24 hours, they can go on the site. It's DaphneClarkHudson.com, and they can insert the code. This is all lowercase. When they get to the checkout page in the shopping cart, if they enter the code New Year, they will get an extra $50 off the registration. And the other unique thing about this conference, you know, when you go to conference, you have to be choosing between which workshop to go, and everybody's so good. Well, at this conference, you don't have to do that. We will not be having any breakout rooms. We are having you listen to all 16 speakers. You will get everybody. So you don't have to say, well, I'm being shortchanged. No. And the registration you're seeing there includes 5 meals.
Yeah.
So we just encourage people to come out. It's going to be a magnificent, magnificent time. And it's going to be in time just for you to understand about what it is I want to do different in my life. I'm excited about the platform and the message that everybody come and the passion that everybody holds towards entrepreneurs and small business people. We are also looking for vendors and advertisers. So, you know, reach out to me and I can give you more information about that. So if you are listening on the archive, the site to get more information is www.DaphneClarkHudson.com.
Absolutely. You can also go ahead and find her on Facebook at www.facebook.com/VisionWeekend. You can also go ahead and call 866-337-3945 for more information. And when you go onto the site, it's a Register Me Now button that you pick. And some of the topics you have here are fantastic, with clarifying your own vision and purpose, unleashing your dormant balance, a brilliant story, building relationships to create wealth and stuff. It's going to be a fantastic weekend, and that is March 23rd through 26th. So go ahead and log on to that. Daph, I feel like taking a call here.
Yes, please.
Absolutely. Let's go to the 403 area code. I believe I know who this is. Hello, caller. I think this is Michelle Stegan from Les Pajabert, if I'm not mistaken. How are you?
It is indeed. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy New Year, sister.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, Daphne.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
Well, Happy New Year to you, ma'am.
And you too. You too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You got a question
so
for Daphne, Michelle?
Well, I haven't formulated it yet, I guess. I'm just reading your Facebook page here and trying to figure out what it is I want to ask. It is about my career.
Yeah.
I'm in a career that I really love,
mm-hmm.
in a department within a company that I kind of like too. And in about August, it might change. It might
mm-hmm.
not be mine anymore,
mm-hmm.
in which case I'll be looking somewhere else. And
mm-hmm.
Or it becomes mine in a different capacity. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering what maybe I should be doing between now and then to
How long have you been in that position?
I've been with the company 16 years and with this job about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. 16 years, year and a half in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, do you
And
believe
I'm in the position because somebody is on a sick leave right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to someone staying sick for me
mm-hmm.
to have a happy career. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you believe in seasons?
Seasons, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as you look back on the journey for the past 16 years in that organization, what would you say about that journey?
Growth. Constant growth, and I don't know, good company in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this question, and I don't know about your spiritual affiliation and all of that stuff, but let me pose this question to you. If the universe sees it fit that you ought to go somewhere else to develop and mold others, would you resist that?
No, I don't know. It would really depend on the opportunity. Yeah,
it's no wrong or right answer to this question. And what I'm going to instruct that you do right now, the only thing I'm going to tell you to do right now in this time, as you wait, is to diligently journal about what it is you seek clarity towards in 2012.
Okay.
We are not going to want anybody to continue to be sick. We don't want anybody to die. We don't want any of those things. What we want is what is truly yours. And as you look over your journey, you are going to begin to identify the high points and qualities that kept you in that company 16 years. You may
okay.
very well have outgrown that company. I don't know, and maybe you don't know either. But
okay.
what I want for you to do is to be open and be receptive to whatever comes your way.
Okay.
Maybe this person got sick and allow you to step in that position so you would start let go of all those other things.
Very, very true.
Does that make any sense?
Can you say that once more? I'm just trying to sort
what
that out.
Part? Maybe.
Just the very last part, yeah.
The person that is now out sick, that person probably got sick, allowing you to step into that position so you could let go of all those other things that you were holding on to. Those other things in that other position for the past 16 years.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Because
yeah.
sometimes we hold on to those stuff and they become our stuff, you know? And we don't want to let
sure.
it go. And a lot of times the universe have to kind of just wean us. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Wean
yeah.
us little by little by little by little. Because they don't want you collapsing. So he don't just yank you and say, yep, you got to go here, Michelle. But all right, let Daphne be sick for a little bit and let her have to step up in Daphne's role for a few weeks or a few months. And by then she kind of forget what was over there. So now she's looking for greener pastures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all about trusting the path.
Exactly. And a lot of your revelation, Michelle, will be coming through your journaling. Is journaling something that you do now?
It's something that's so easy to me, and I just never do it. And,
that's okay.
There's been so many signs that I pick it up again. So
that's okay, because the only way to do is to start now. Action.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it's about.
Right.
Don't beat up yourself about what you coulda, shoulda, woulda done. It's not important. Now you will start now, and what better time for us to be having this conversation than on the eve of 2012?
Yeah,
for sure.
A new year.
Yeah.
Wow, good information, Daphne.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I hope that was helpful, Michelle.
That is helpful. Very wonderful. Thanks a lot for that.
You are very welcome, and all the success. And if you're ever looking for a coach, you know where to find me.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thanks for calling
in,
Michelle.
Bye.
Thanks.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Love
bye.
You, honey. Take care. Yeah, Daphne, it really is all about trusting the path. I know that there was, yeah, the funniest thing that, and the funniest and the hardest and the best thing ever. For example, when Steve really was diagnosed with MS and got really, really sick, and then our company had shut down our locations and I lost my job, which turned out great because I had to go ahead and take care of Steve anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for the grace of God. If Steve wouldn't have gotten sick, I wouldn't have logged on to At Home with Victoria to listen to At Home with Victoria to end up doing this. So, you have to really let go. I hate to use the term let go and let God, but trust in the path. You know, it is the learning, and you have to surrender. And I think that's the one thing a lot of people are scared of doing is the surrender part.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Because we have to understand, just like when you're working on a project, you know it's a process, so is our lives.
Yeah.
It's a process. And a lot of times we want to see the end before we get around the corner. We got to go around the curve. We just have to trust it and just keep going and know whatever is meant for us is going to be around there when we get there. But it is so challenging for adults to let go. I think each and every one of us need to go back to kids. You know, you talk to a five-year-old, what they want to be, astronaut, brain surgeon.
That's a very good point. Children have this certain magic, wide-eyed innocence. It's
mm-hmm.
the return to innocence, I think, that adults have to understand to get back to. Because
mm-hmm.
once you do that surrender, everything becomes magical again because you don't know what's happening. And it becomes more of an adventure. And
mm-hmm.
I think really life can end up being that way for a lot of people, but a lot
mm-hmm.
of us are so surrounded in the everyday drudgery of our lackluster careers trying to, make the minimal amount of money to try
mm-hmm.
and work it into your own life. And I think a lot of people get just so frustrated with that.
And we need to be patient with ourselves, because you know something, God is so patient with us. The universe is so patient with us, because if we look over on some of the crappy, tacky things we have done more than once, and we are still here to talk about them, yet we really don't give ourselves a break. You know, our people around us will be giving us all the breaks, and we are so hard on ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I had this friend of mine in Canada named Michael Pavlovsky, and Michael was, I was at that time, I was probably in my 25-ish mode,
mm-hmm.
and he was 17 years old, and he gave me the most powerful piece of wisdom that I still carry with me to this day, and that wisdom was, if you treated your friends like you treated yourself, would you have any friends?
Wow.
Yeah,
that
was from a 17-year-old, and I thought, wow.
My God, what wisdom.
Yeah.
What
wisdom for a young guy.
My God, woo, that is powerful. And that's what all of us need to look in the mirror every day. And thanks so much for sharing that, Michael.
My pleasure,
because
honey.
It's the same question we ask ourselves as entrepreneurs. Would we be doing business with us?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing that this, oh, my God, what wisdom.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's a soul-searching question for all of us to ask.
Absolutely. Daphne,
you know?
I want to go quickly to the chat room. I've got Gary Sybil from the UK saying, I'm thinking about a job move, not my choice, but my manager is holding me back because he doesn't want to lose him as one of his best workers. What do I do? Mm-hmm.
My God, my God. The manager is so insecure. And the question I have for Gary is whether or not the manager or the company, do they invest in their workers? So
good
I'll
question.
Wait for him to type that, to answer that question. Now, he needs to have an honest face-to-face dialogue with his manager. Well, you don't want to lose me. I'm your best worker. What are you putting on the table for my advancement?
Absolutely. Make it worth my time.
Make it worth my time. Is there something that Gary wants to go study? This would be a good time to negotiate the company to pay for him to go back to school.
That's brilliant.
You know, I don't know
That's
what
a really
he wants,
good idea.
But he... If they want you that much, they're going to pay for you to stay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, especially in this day and age where skilled workers are so far and few between.
Exactly. You know,
yeah.
You'd let Gary need to let them know, well, I like this company. I've gave a lot, but I need something in return now. What is it you're willing to offer? And be patient and go into this meeting with a pad. That you can jot things down so the boss see that you mean business. Not a casual talk, serious talk. And you go in there with concrete things that you want out of the position. And
Absolutely.
If nothing is there for you, just tell them, well, I really and truly think that others will benefit from who I am because I honestly and truly don't think you appreciate the value that I've added to this company. And that's what is happening, Gary. You have been adding value there as you look over it. And you can highlight those values that you have added while you are there because a lot of times the supervisors are not seeing it, but they want to know. You need to let them know that you are aware of what your value is to the company. It would be great to hear what happens after that conversation.
Absolutely. I think he's typing in now. And you know what?
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody, too, the phrase, if you don't ask, you don't get, has never rung more true in this lifetime. I think a lot of people just choose not to ask. And this is a funny story that I'm going to correlate to this. Steve's computer was acting up, so I went to Radio Shack, bought a computer, said, is this one in stock? The guy said, no. I says, well, I'll take the floor model. So it took him 45 minutes to go ahead and clean the computer out and stuff. And then when I went back, I simply asked. I said, is there a discount for it having a floor model?
On the floor.
Yeah, and he says, well, no, we don't do that kind of a thing. And I said, well, you know, ha, 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 you don't ask,
get
you don't get. So he rang the computer up, Daphne. The computer came to like $450. He rang the computer up. It rings in at $389. And
now,
I says,
what
well,
you
I,
got to say?
The computer
what
doesn't lie.
Do?
I guess that's the price of the computer. But
that's
again,
right.
it's the matter. It's trusting the path that the universe will allow you to go ahead and. But you have to be cognizant and stand in your own light, not stand in your own way. I think that's the important part.
Yeah. So what he's saying, the company is. You want to read
One
that,
of the
Michael?
Biggest companies worldwide, but they don't give a poo about the staff. They are more worried about making money and numbers than even staying happy crimbo to the staff. Yeah,
okay.
Wow.
Well, Gary, you can change that model. You can be the first staff that they begin to care about because you're going to ask.
Right.
So you look your sharpest. When you're going to have that meeting, you ask for an appointment to sit down for an official meeting. Ain't nobody getting anything there because they were all afraid to ask for everything. You make history in that company and you go ask.
Mm-hmm.
Ask. Don't be afraid to ask. If you need to take a few weeks to build up your self-esteem to go ask, but you ask. Because as Michael said, you have not because you ask not. You are going to be the first person to get something out of this company. Nobody ever asked before.
True. And Gary, you may be the one to facilitate a different learning within the company.
That's
I think that's
right.
what Daphne's trying
exactly.
to say. And yeah,
that's
so
right.
if
right.
it's being put to you, rise to the challenge and help others.
Rise
it, to you
it.
can never go wrong with that.
That's right.
You will always
and there
be
are
rewarded.
Others. Yeah, there are others who are sitting there who are afraid to ask, and you are going to be opening the doors for many more. Don't be afraid. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
Yeah, it's like that phrase too, out of the mouth of babes. You know, if you want to
mm-hmm.
if you want to have a child ask something awkward, you give the child something to ask. But
isn't that, and they just go and just do it. They're not thinking about anything like that. We as adults know, and I think Gary's probably thinking, oh, I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to ask. They're the biggest company and that and that. No, 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 honey. They excuse me for calling you honey, but they need you.
Yeah.
They need you. They need your skills and your talents. They need you, and they will do what it takes to keep you there. You are their
absolutely.
Best worker. Prove it to me.
Absolutely.
Confirm it.
Absolutely. Show me. Show me how important
Show
I am.
Show me. Don't tell me I am. Show me.
Yeah.
And this does not necessarily, Gary, needs to be monetary showing. I would think, you know, you'll figure out what's best for you. I'm thinking maybe if you want to advance in something, let them pay for it or something.
Mm-hmm.
You'll figure out what it is. You know?
Yeah,
you'll think
yeah,
about what is best for you.
And that's a good point, too. I find a lot of people, too, that they, you know, either pray for health or wealth or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be detailed in what you want. You know,
mm-hmm.
sit down, provide yourself with enough time to take at least, you know, 15, 20 minutes a day if you can afford it, just to be quiet within your mind because everything
mm-hmm.
you want is there. But be very pinpointed for what you want because otherwise the universe will throw you stuff as
mm-hmm.
to the fact that, well, you asked for it and it's not
That's
exactly
right.
what you want. And you can tailor
exactly.
make it if
right.
only through subliminals, yeah.
Right. So when Gary going there, he cannot leave it up to the supervisor to say what he thinks he should get. He needs to have something concrete going into this negotiation and this conversation. Have one or two or three things that you think is going to add the best value to you as a person.
Yeah.
And
no,
give
absolutely.
Them the proposal. Give them choices. I believe in giving people choices. So don't just go with one thing so when they say no, you have nothing else. Go with two or three. Here
mm-hmm.
is my top option. This is my number one. You give it 4 stars. However, depending on what else is going to come with it, I could go for 2 or 3. Let's
mm-hmm.
discuss it.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Dynamic Daphne Clark Hudson on At Home with Victoria. Just to let you know, too, if you have a question for Daphne, feel free to call in at 718-664-9364. I want to thank Gina Cali Diva from California for tuning into the chat room. She's a good friend from California, Daphne, and follows
Hello,
you.
Hello, Miss Gina.
She's there, all right. But, Daph, we have some time. We've got a little more time on the clock here. I want to go ahead
mm-hmm.
and play another song.
Yes.
Necessary Truth is a fantastic Christian rock band. And actually, Bethany was on your show
mm-hmm.
telling her story through pneumonia.
Oh, that's Bethany.
And
I love her.
That's
I
Bethany,
love her music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love her music. So we're going to listen to Necessary Truth. The song is called More. Give a listen. But don't go away. We'll be right back with Daphne Clark Hudson. Hold on.
Here
necessary truth with more. But, you know, a lot of people now in these days, especially in the dawn of 2012, are wanting for more. There seems to be not enough to go around. What's your advice for 2012, Daphne? Where do you see things going?
I think it's going to take each and every one of us focusing on why. And who
better.
Am I? Why am I here? And who am I? Once we can answer these two questions, then we are not going to be caught up in all the anxiety that is going on around us. Again, Michael, at the top of the hour, I spoke about being authentic and being unique and all of that. And that's what is going to take us to stay focused. We need to stay focused, grounded, focused, and center. We need to become still and ask the question, who am I really? Why am I in this world? Am I just here taking up oxygen and space? What?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing? Why am I here? I want to share something with you. I'm part of a blog called Caribbean Fever. And Jamaica just elected a new prime minister. And there's a gentleman on the blog. At least the person has a male name on the blog. There's no picture of for the profile. The person uses a photo of a dog in a dark glasses as the profile picture. He has a male name. And since I became part of this blog back in November, I'm yet to see this gentleman write anything positive about anybody, anything. And I just had enough this morning, and he was harping about Jamaica is going to be a gay country now because the prime minister is supporting gay movement. And he went on and on and on. And I had just had enough. And I asked, what are you doing to create a legacy for yourself? And I said,
right.
The mere fact that you are hiding behind the picture of an innocent dog in a dark glasses, you are not even man enough to say what it is that you want to say. Why are you hiding behind the animal? And there are a lot of people out there that is holding on to so much anger and hate and everything like that. And in 2012, we need to burn those things. Because in order for us to be elevated and to move on, we, whether we are Christian, Muslim, Jews, gays, lesbians, straight, nobody, whatever, you don't have none, you're not getting no little bit, nothing. Whatever you are, we must come together as people. We got to get color out of it, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, and all of that. We need to come together, embrace each other. After we find out, who am I? Why am I here? Then, how can you and I come together to make a difference in this world? People are looking to collaborate. And with the efficiency of the internet now, Michael, we can find people to help us get to where we need to be. But each and every one of us will need to start in our little nook and cranny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's also, too, when you talk about four things I think everybody needs to remove from their lives that are just absolute hindrance, and this is just through my little traveling through the world, but four things you got to remove. You got to remove fear. You have to remove judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remove expectation, and you have got to remove ego. You know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
Strip those four things down, and you become the purest form of your perfect self. And I think only then are you able to actually decipher and understand where you find your passion to be. Because your passion will always help. And if you're always – I hate to be one of those people saying, oh, help other people. But it becomes more of a gift than a burden when you're doing it honestly.
Exactly.
With true intention.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because we have to know that it comes to a time when we have to come to the realization that you and I are brothers and sisters, regardless of the color of the skin and the texture of my hair. Mm-hmm. And I have come to understand, Michael, that when I look on someone and I am not looking at their gender, I'm not looking at the color of their skin, I'm not listening to the accent that they have, I am just looking at that person and I see that radiant light inside mm-hmm. of them. It removes all judgment and prejudices out of me. Yesterday I was speaking with a colleague of mine, and she said to me, you need to stop being so transparent because people are using it against you. And she's really? Right. And she is right. However, can I change who I am? I don't know that I can. So people need to understand that each and every one of us are in total control of who we are. And as long as I continue to see myself as a bright light and I keep shining, I don't know that anything out there will have a more powerful influence to hurt or to harm me, whether they use my transparency against me or not.
Yeah, but your transparency, Daphne, is what your light is. And once again, mm-hmm. there is no dark
That's right.
in the presence of light. So,
That's right.
you know, I think what happens when someone says something like that to you, that they know you can see right through. And Daphne, you and I both know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to do this because Victoria's not here. You and I can sniff shit a mile away.
That's right.
Through either body language mm-hmm. or demeanor.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
It's what you're not saying that is giving you away kind of the time.
Exactly.
So transparency is brilliant. It's almost mm-hmm. virginal, and nothing mm-hmm. nothing bad can come of it.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you yeah. so much for that affirmation and support. And, you know, it's good when you have people in your inner circle that will tell you things that they think you need to hear and think. And there are a lot of times when you're not going to use it right away. Because what that has done for me since yesterday, it has heightened my awareness and my antenna. So my antenna is way up now. It's much, much higher than before she told me that. And I know with the torch on top of that antenna, it's too high up for anybody to put the flame out.
Yeah. Don't dull your brightness for everybody. That's for
That's
sure.
That's right. Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you so much.
Not worth it. Anyways, if you're just tuning in to At Home with Victoria or listening to Michael Kay and Daphne Clark-Hudson, Daphne, just want to remind everybody again to go to DaphneClarkHudson.com and talk about the Vision mm-hmm. Weekend Conference for March 23rd to the 26th in New York at the Millennium Broadway Hotel. Go ahead and click on that for early registration and save yourself $180 plus $50, $230 on your registration. But a great lineup with international empowerment experts for the entrepreneur, for people who just simply want to find a better life for themselves. But what are you doing tonight, Daphne? It's New Year's Eve, and you and I are the old people hanging around eating chips.
Oh, my God.
Home.
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that. However, Toby, which is my cat, and I, we're just going to be cuddling here. And just I'm doing some writings, Michael, so I think I'm going to continue writing. I'm working on two books at the moment, which I need to finish for the Vision Weekend Conference. So I think I'm going to be writing in the new year. I am not even going to church tonight. Good. Church starts at 10 o'clock. So I'm just going to be writing and just be still and continue working on what my vision need to look like for the new year coming up. I have two videos that I need to update for my supporters and some pictures that I got today. So I'm just going to be still so that I can
Fantastic.
Get some clarity and write in my journal and everything else that it is that I want to do.
Well, honey, I wish you the brightest 2012. I'm so proud to call you friend. It's been a fantastic year with you by my side here, and I adore you, and I look forward to having you back on the show many, many, many times. you're a continual source of empowerment for me, especially going through what I'm going through with Steve right now and everything. And we'll be actually putting up another edition of Tales from the Crypt a little bit later this evening, so for those who are following that. But Daphne, I want to thank you a lot. We're running out of time, but thank you so much for taking the time on this very special New Year's Eve. Happy New Year to the UK listeners. There's just New Year's three minutes ago there. But Daphne, as ever, my sister, I adore you, and you're very special, and you hold such a wonderful place in my heart.
Thank you so much. I love you, and Stephen, you are in my prayers, and will continue to be. I love you, Michael. Thank you so much.
Love you tons. Happy New Year, doll.
Happy New Year to you and to your listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you, doll. You have a good night. Take care. Daphne Clark Hudson, one of the most fantastic people I have ever met in my life. Once again, you can go ahead and find her on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Daphne Clark Hudson, and Clark with an E, or you can go to www.facebook.com/Vision Weekend Conference. So once again, I want to thank everybody up in chat, Gary Sibbold and Shannon from the UK, Gina from California, my sister for calling in earlier, and all the new guests that we certainly have. But from myself, Michael Kay, and Victoria Gaither, our news lady, at Home of Victoria wishes everybody a very fantastic New Year's in 2012. We're going to close the show out today with Timothy Craig. I find it's fitting to ask for one small miracle, so we're going to close the show with that. But Happy New Year, everybody, and be kind to everybody, and be kind to yourself, okay? Love you tons, and Happy New Year. Take care.
Gonna take one small miracle just to get me through. Cause I don't know which way to turn or what more I can do. I must have tried everything, but does it mean anything? I must have prayed a million times for my sun to shine. There's gotta be a star in the sky for me to save me from this misery. It's gonna take one small miracle just to get me through. I might have lost my way, or was I just left behind? Somebody send me a signal, somebody give me a sign. I'm reaching out with both hands, I feel like I'm running out of time. It's getting dark where I am, and I can't find the light. I must have tried everything, but doesn't mean anything. I must have prayed a million times for my sun to shine. There's gotta be a star in the sky for me to save me from this misery. It's gonna take one small miracle just to get me through. Just to get me through. I'm running out of answers. What am I supposed to do? Ain't there anybody up there? Can't you hear my voice? Can't you feel my pain? Somebody send me an angel. Somebody send me an angel. I must have tried everything, but does it mean anything? I must have prayed a million times for my sun to shine. There's gotta be a star in the sky for me to save me from this misery. It's gonna take one small miracle just to get me through. Cause I don't know which way to turn, what more I can do.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.